This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Storey.
Chapter 37. Tom lay in a small bed. There were no sheets or blankets, but an unzipped sleeping bag half covered his still-dressed body. The space was small and bare, a cell more than the bedroom. He rolled up and swung his legs over the side. His muscles ached, and when he stood, the room pitched as he swayed in giddy circles with his feet pinned to the floor. He reached out and placed a hand against the wall, supporting himself for a count of 10 before trying to stand again. Still dizzy, but recovering fast, he found a door and tried it. This one was locked. He heard noises from the other side. Someone was moving about. He was wondering what he should do, call out or lie down and think, when the old man's caustic voice sounded through the wood.
"Good, you're up."
Tom stepped back. The door swung open and Silas stood with a glass of milk in one hand and his cane in the other.
"Did you sleep?"
he asked, a concerned, chain-smoking grandfather on a bright suburban morning. Tom looked beyond him. He was on the edge of what looked like a lab. There were benches and computers, machines with shiny tubes and flashing lights, and there was a cubicle. Transparent door enclosing a seat that instantly brought the loathing he felt for the vile creature in front of him to an explosive and violent outburst beyond his control. He knocked the glass from the old man's hand and ducked right, preparing to strike his jailer with a left fist before he could bring his cane up. But although Tom moved fast, and the old man hardly twitched from his position by the open door, Tom's knees suddenly buckled and he collapsed, convulsing and in pain where he had stood.
"You can thank me all you want, boy. If we have to start from the beginning, then so be it. For I know, and soon you will too, that the lessons are still there."
The pain vanished and Tom stopped wiping the spilled milk with his flailing body.
"We'll try again."
He nodded to the cell.
"Sure. And change. You will then eat. Do not make me hurt you again. I need you well. But continue when you're refreshed."
"Continue what?" Silas closed the door, Tom scrambling back from his spread-eagled spot half in and half out the doorway. That was lesson one, thought Tom. As he hauled himself to his feet, Tessa's nagging look came streaming back to him and finally hit its mark. There was so much he didn't understand, but he knew for certain that whatever George Silas wanted from him, Tom would never win by blundering blindly through fear and anger. He had to control himself, be strong, clever. Lifting himself up, he found a shower, innocently camouflaged in the far corner of the room by a sliding door coloured the same light blue as the walls. He stripped his milk-sodden clothes and embraced the needle-hot water of the shower. The jet was high pressure, 100 points pricking his skin, 100 micro-massagers sweeping away the negative tension that had been with him for so many days. He seemed to have known little else in his short and troubled life. As he rubbed soap into his aching body, Tom felt a slight bump under his left armpit. He stopped and examined the spot as best he could amid the steam. Whatever it was, Tom knew it was not a natural part of him, and just as certain it had not been there before. He recalled the pain he'd suffered minutes earlier and now convinced himself that it started under that arm. Drying himself carefully, he located a tiny puncture that looked as innocuous as a freckle. Silas had injected something into him. The spot was tender to the touch, still aching from the crippling shock the man had forced through his body. The realization that he was completely at his mercy threatened Tom's resolve. What now his hope of escape? What now his futile anger when he thought of Kathleen and Tess? Then there was that look again. Tess. The strength of one girl matching and boosting his, and he felt shame at his own weakness. He stilled the panic threatening to cripple him as surely as the thing under his skin. He would think and plan, and then he would act. There was nothing he could do about the implant now, but he recognised that knowing was better than not knowing. It was a start. He found a shirt and jeans, both a little loose but clean and fresh. The only thing Silas had left out was new shoes, but apart from being a little stained on the outside, his trainers were comfortable and Tom felt, physically at least, much stronger than he had when he'd awoke. His mind was also clearer. He was learning, really learning. Difficult as it was, Tom had to fight the reflex notion that anything the hateful creature said to him should be rejected without thought. The man had been right about his need for rest. He felt rejuvenated by the shower and clean clothing, and now, suddenly, he also felt ravenous. When Silas brought him another glass of milk, Tom thanked him and let the cool liquid wash his throat and fill his stomach in one ecstatic long tilt. Silas smiled as though he'd won another little victory.
Are you hungry?
Tom nodded. Silas shuffled aside, and as Tom walked past him, he noticed the man fingering a ring with nervous twitches that did not reveal itself in his face. That small observation told him two things. One, Silas was not as confident as he seemed to be. And two, the ring was much more than just an ornament. Suppressing the thought from appearing on his face, Tom wondered if the ring held the key to his sudden pain. His mind began to race and plot and plan, as he walked quietly into a small lounge to do as he was told and eat the meal his master provided for him. It was delicious.
Chapter 38.
I won't hurt you.
Tom's eyes widened as Silas brought the needle closer. The morning had passed in a blur, and although he knew that the truce between the pair was an illusion as thin as the trust they had in each other, each hour in this state brought him closer to learning what he needed to know and gave him his best shot at getting away from the maniac he refused to call father. If Kathleen was not his real mother, he could not be born of the same blood as Silas. No way. Curiously, after questioning him on what he knew of Tessa's whereabouts, he'd left the subject alone, this despite Tom's efforts to find out all he could about his absent and mysterious sister. There were, according to the man, more pressing matters to be dealt with, and now, apparently, the most pressing of them all was to stick a needle the size of a sausage skewer into his arm and draw his blood. Tom wanted to run, but knew it would be useless. He would be brought down by the thing buried in his flesh and the blood would be taken anyway. He took a deep breath and tried to use the event to his advantage. Confidence and trust was the key. He had to fake both. As the needle penetrated his vein, Tom watched the blood fill the clear tube. He tried to ignore the revulsion he felt for Silas's touch and spoke softly as though to his doctor. Is there something wrong with me? Silas chuckled.
I hope not.
He kept his eye on the red flood in the tube.
You, boy, are my salvation.
Tom caught a strong smell of raw onions and gagged back a choking cough. I thought I was going to go mad, continued Tom. He wanted to know what the man was doing, but had learned that the best way to get him to talk was to give him a nudge and then step back. He was also keen to find out more about Kathleen and Cregan, who he was.
I'm afflicted by time.
The syringe full, he withdrew the needle from the boy's arm and straightened himself to a hunch. He brought the liquid close to his eyes and smiled.
Age is the greatest disease there is.
He looked at Tom, the smile broadening to an expectant grin.
And you, boy, are the cure for many things.
He took the blood and carefully injected it into a machine the size of a small car. Gleaming and polished pipes curved sensuously from one part to another. A monitor and keyboard formed a control panel, and a membrane like a cap made from a thick rubber balloon covered the entrance to a small box labelled sample. The needle pierced the cap and Silas emptied the plunger with a slow, continuous push. Tom watched in fascination. He'd thought about how old he was ever since he'd uncovered the emotions linking him to Cregan's past and wondered if that is where he truly belonged. Was Silas telling him it was true? Had he really lived all that time and not aged? He remembered then his injuries under the cliff and how, according to Catriona, he had arrived at the cottage without a scratch. How old am I? Tom said at last. Silas was distracted. He sat at the monitor and typed commands into the keyboard. A low humming noise filled the air and coloured graph-like bars appeared on the screen. As the seconds ticked by, the relationship between the bars grew and shrunk until the one on the far right, labelled Telomere 97X and coloured bright yellow, dominated the screen. He pressed another key and a similar graph, the largest bar representing something called Nanophage 205, filled the space. A third screen highlighted stem cell levels. Tom tried again. I know I used to live at Cregan with Kathleen and Tess and you. How old am I? Silas looked up from the screen, slightly annoyed by the intrusion.
I ask the questions, you answer.
But I want to learn, Tom said, remembering the phrase Silas himself seemed so fond of. The man stood and moved to the right side of the machine and watched with satisfaction as a dark red liquid dripped into a clear tube jutting from a box labelled serum. As it filled with the speed of glacial creep, Silas seemed to ponder Tom's question and eventually, plugging the drip, drip of bloody time, he said,
It's not that simple. Depends how you measure it. But I would say 15.
The answer shocked Tom in its banality. But he began and then didn't know quite what to say. But what? He changed tack. How old are you?
A lot older than I look.
Tom was tempted to say 200 years then, but he held himself back. He almost choked when Silas followed his statement with what sounded much like Tom's sarcastic thoughts.
A good guess would be around 200 years.
Tom tried to take this in. Silas was 200 years old. He was 15. If it was true, and Tom reminded himself not to dismiss what the man said out of hand, that put Silas firmly within the timescale proffered by Kathleen's journal, the cave and the ruin above Cregan. Kathleen, is she alive? Silas tilted his head back and laughed.
You can be quite stupid, boy. How?
And then he stopped talking, his face twisted in sudden thought.
You remember?
Tom was about to tell him about finding the journal and then realised that Silas would know that he'd also been in the cavern. He checked himself and said instead, A little. The ruin above Cregan Cottage, it reminded me of things. This seemed to satisfy him and he took the cylinder marked serum and placed it on a stand by the monitor. Tom was trying hard to think ahead, to look around innocently, to keep the man talking so that he could learn everything he could. Come what may, he would escape. Perhaps that's why he didn't notice the knife in Silas's hand. When the wrinkled fingers wrapped his right arm, the boy was more concerned with the revulsion it invoked than the thought of protecting himself. The nails dug into his wrist, and Silas twisted Tom's arm outwards in a surprisingly swift motion. And then he saw it. 1 minute the other arm was at Silas's side, and the next it streaked up, fluorescent white light glinting from its razor-sharp blade. In two smooth strokes, the weapon sliced deep into his arm, his brain desperately trying to process what had just happened. There was no pain, not at first. The cuts were surgically clean, slicing skin and muscle, vein and tendon. His middle and pointing fingers dropped open, and Tom looked at Silas with a mixture of hate and fear for what would come next.
DreamWorks.com.